Good to sing praises together as a church family. Especially good because our family was in New York on last weekend. I had the privilege of marrying my cousin. It was a beautiful outdoor wedding, and right there in Westchester County, just outside of New York City. I also had fun at the reception. This pastor was on the dance floor. I was showing my largely non-religious family how Adventists get down. I was winning souls performing the electric slide. So we might have some new converts to the faith. It was an amazing time, and actually it was fun because my family, which is largely non-religious, they got to hear me preach, and they got to hear anyone preach. I mean, they're usually not in a place where they come and listen to a sermon, but this wedding day, they listened to a word of the Lord, and I could see that some of them were having a spiritual moment. And so I thank God for that. Please pray for my family. They are amazing, but their life would be that much more amazing if they had Jesus at the center. But enough about them. Today's message, God's response to hate. I want to start with a story. 2 years ago, I was in this parking lot, and I took this picture right after the incident happened, so I would always remember. I was in the parking lot of the YMCA, and I was with my son, Max. When I took him out of the car seat and set him on the ground, he is so quick that before I could grab his hand, he was off running. We normally play this game where I chase after him and say, I'm going to get you, and he runs away and he laughs and he loves it. Well, this day, we were in the parking lot and he thought we were playing again, but he didn't have any idea of the danger he was in. You could see in this photo, there's a whole bunch of cars and they're parked with their front to the curb. And he was just 2 years old, so as cars were backing up, it was really hard for them to see him. So I called out his name so that he would stop. He kept running even faster. Just then I saw a pickup truck, reverse lights come on, and he was headed straight for the back of that truck, and this truck started to back up. So I called his name, except this time I even did it louder. Still nothing. He ran faster. The third time, he was just feet away from this pickup truck that's backing up. The third time that I called out his name, I called it out so loud that the sound of my voice made him just fall to his knees. He was kind of stunned and shocked. He had never heard me that loud before. And he didn't know what to do, so he just fell on his knees. And I ran over and I scooped him up. And he was safe in my arms. Now, when I called out his name, it's interesting, but there wasn't an ounce of anger in my voice. Even though it was so loud, there was no anger. It was just love and concern. I didn't want him to get hit by the pickup truck, because I know the pickup truck would have just absolutely crushed his body. So I yelled in a loud voice, and he fell to his knees. Revelation chapter 14 talks about some pretty intense times. It actually says that God is calling out in a loud voice to those who have rejected him, those who have rejected love and compassion. And he wants us to stop. He wants us to stop the hate. He wants us to stop marginalizing. He wants us to stop otherizing people. He wants us to stop putting one another down and puffing ourselves up. And he wants us to stop because he knows that living like that will eventually lead to our own destruction. There's a truck backing up right now. And some of us are running away from love, straight into the path of danger. Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's calling out one last time in Revelation 14, in the three angels' messages. He calls out in a loud voice, not out of anger, but out of love and concern. Question is, will we fall to our knees? Or will we stand in defiance of his love and be crushed by what is coming? As we begin today's message, God's response to hate, let us begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, as we pause just now, bless us as we study the book of Revelation and the powerful lessons that you have for us. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Terrible things are happening every day, as you are all aware. There are mass shootings that are common. There are children being separated from their families. The rich are getting richer. Poor are getting poorer. Discrimination of all types, and on and on. And people want to know, what is God doing about this? What is God's response to all of this evil? What is God's care? Does he think about these things? Is he far away and distant and cold and uncaring? Or is he involved in the day-to-day? What is going on? There are several ways of answering this, but for today's message, I want to propose one of the ways that God is responding to evil is in preparing for the seven last plagues, or the bowl plagues of the book of Revelation. So that's what we're going to discuss today. And I don't know what you've heard about the seven last plagues. I don't know what kind of nightmares they might conjure up to you, or I don't know if you've never even heard about them at all, and this is your first time. But believe it or not, today's message is a feel-good message. And it's part one of a two-part series that we'll conclude next week. And I believe that at the end of our time today, you too will be praising God for the seven last plagues. So the seven last plagues are not to be confused with the seven seals or the seven trumpets. In the book of Revelation, there's a lot of sevens. Pastor, at the beginning of the year, he led us through a study of the seven churches of Revelation, the seven messages to the seven churches. So there's a lot of sevens. And the seven last plagues are different from all of them, especially different from the seven seals and the seven trumpets, which take place all throughout Christian history. So from the time of the cross to the time of the second coming, the seals and the trumpets point to specific prophetic time periods. But the seven last plagues happen all immediately before Jesus' return. And there isn't an ounce of mercy mixed into the plagues. They're absolutely crushing to those that are intended for. Just like that 3,000-pound truck would have been absolutely crushing to my son, there wouldn't have been an ounce of mercy in that truck if it went over my son. And there isn't going to be an ounce of mercy with these plagues for who they are intended. And we're about to learn who they are intended for. Hence, because there's no mercy mixed in, Revelation 14 says, God calls out in a loud voice. God is concerned. He doesn't want his children to be crushed. He wants to try and stop us from running into danger. So the three angels' messages of Revelation 14 are the absolute last chance to avoid getting annihilated by evil. And we are living in the three angels' messages time. A lot of you may know what they are, but in a nutshell, the three angels' messages are the everlasting gospel, and the first one says that we should fear, or translated as respect God as our creator. The second says that the corrupt methods of this world, the selfishness, the greed, all the corruption that we see, all that is fallen. And the third angel's message is, hey, don't worship the fallen system. Worship God. Now, every analogy has its limit. So does this one about Max and the pickup truck. The reality is, it's not a cute little kid that is going to get crushed by the plagues. That's where the analogy breaks down. It isn't folks who are innocent and unaware of the danger they are in, like Max was unaware. No, the seven last plagues are reserved for the most wicked and the most cruel. Those who have time and time again chosen to side with the enemy. The people who have chosen to stand on the side of hate. Chosen to live a life of arrogance, of pride, of greed, of rebellion against all things good. Instead of living a life of love, a life of joy, a life of peace. People have misunderstood the plagues, and they've misunderstood who they're meant for. We also have a misunderstanding, as we mentioned in the beginning, of what God is doing in the face of all of this evil. So, today, I hope to combine these two and show them how they're interrelated, who the plagues are meant for, and what God is doing about evil. So, we're going to start by reading Revelation 15, and we're going to see what we see. So, if you could, please read with me. Then I saw another angel, a sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast standing on the sea of glass. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Our holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been made manifest. Notice something kind of odd on the surface of this. We just read, verse 1 say, I saw seven angels with seven plagues. Okay? It's kind of like a scary thing if you think about it. But then, the last three verses we read, God's children are singing. They're not scared. To the contrary, they sound euphoric, like, great and marvelous are your ways, O Lord. It says that they're singing the song of Moses. And if you go back to the time of Moses, the story of Moses, story found in Exodus chapter 15, and you read about the song of Moses, you'll see that it's the song about when God saved the Israelites by parting the Red Sea. Moses and the children of God were slaves in Egypt. They were in terrible bondage. Pharaoh completely stripped them of dignity. Work conditions were inhumane. They were not permitted basic freedoms. They weren't even allowed to worship God. And one day, God sent Moses, said, "Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Pharaoh didn't listen. Actually, Pharaoh made it harder. It's like, imagine the nerve of this guy coming in here to my kingdom and telling me to release my slaves. No, I'm not going to release your slaves. I'm actually going to make it even more hard for them. So he upped their quota. But something happened. God sent the plagues on Pharaoh. So you're starting to see how the plagues, depending on what side you are on, might not be all that bad. This story in Exodus is totally foreshadowing this story in Revelation 15. There's no doubt that God wants us to think about the Red Sea miracle when we read about the plagues. It's built into the text. After the final plague, Pharaoh had enough and said to Moses, "Okay, Moses, go. You and your people, you're free. Just get out of here. Leave us alone," because of the plagues. They were harassing him so much, it caused so much devastation that Pharaoh's like, "I can't anymore. Just go." So God's people left. After 400 years of slavery, they were free at last. But as they were on their way, Pharaoh changed his mind. Pride got the better of him, and so he mounted his army on chariots, and he went after the Israelites. He wasn't going after them to call them back to work. He was going after them to kill them all. Man, woman, child, he was just going to absolutely crush them. That's when God, in an awesome display of power, parted the Red Sea. And the Israelites went through on dry land with two towers of water on each side. Now, this is how far demonic Pharaoh was. He could see this amazing miracle with two towers of water, and he knew that God was on the side of the Israelites. But what did he do? Did he turn around and say, "Well, we can't mess with this God. Look at the power he has." No, he was so defiant in the midst of such a clear call that was from God. He was so defiant that he charged after the Israelites. He went through the Red Sea as well while the waters were still parted. And he was going to kill everybody. That's the rage that was in him. But God intervened. He allowed the water from the Red Sea to fall in on Pharaoh and his army and cover them all up, the entire army. God stopped them from harming his children any longer. 400 years of slavery, and that was it. And when they saw the way God had delivered them, what did the children of Israel do? They sang the song of Moses. Hallelujah. God delivered them, and they were ecstatic. So I want to ask you a question. Was it unloving of God to stop Pharaoh by covering them with water? Was that cruel? Should God have allowed Pharaoh to do whatever he wanted, even after 400 years of slavery? Should he have allowed Pharaoh to kill every man, woman, and child? Would that have been the more loving thing to do? No. He stopped them. After 400 years of cruelty, that was the line, and it was going to be any more after that. Friends, It is no different with the seven last plagues. God is not brutal. He is not some sort of cold-hearted person. To the contrary, with the seven last plagues, he is saving his children from being absolutely crushed by evil. We are slaves in this dark world. Slaves to sickness and fear and crime and corruption and greed and anger and all kinds of evil. We are slaves ultimately to death. And if evil had its way, there wouldn't be one of us who was left standing. Just like if Pharaoh had his way in the Red Sea. Revelation describes Satan as drunk with the blood of the saints. Do you have that picture in your head? And we have all lost loved ones by all different types of ways. And Satan is just drunk on their blood. He's had so much of it. And he continues to have more. The seven last plagues are God's way of stopping him once and for all from hurting us anymore. The seven last plagues, get this, will be our Red Sea experience. God will save us from our enemy with the seven last plagues. And after the plagues have fallen, and after we are safely on the other side of this great conflict, when our enemy has been swallowed up, we will sing the song of Moses. We will sing, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways." That's what we should think about every single time we think about the seven last plagues. When someone's talking about the seven plagues, say, "Hallelujah, the Red Sea is going apart." No matter how horrible they sound, and we're going to read some of them in a second, no matter how horrible they sound on the text, the alternative is that the enemy keeps killing the innocent. And they do sound horrible. The people who don't understand the context, they just flip open to Revelation 15 and 16 and start reading some of these plagues. They're like, "Man, this God is brutal. He's some sort of monster. Because why would he do all these terrible things?" With zero context that God is not the monster. God is sending these plagues to stop the monster from hurting us anymore. That's the context of the plagues. Remember, these plagues are what God uses to stop the evil that we're experiencing in the world. So that Revelation 16, the whole chapter is a list of all seven plagues, and some go in great detail. We don't have the time to read every single one, so we're just going to summarize here. The first plague is a foul and loathsome sore on the body of our oppressors. The second is that the oceans will turn to blood and everything in it will die. The third plague is that all the rest of the water, the fresh water, will also turn to blood. And remember, this is all happening just immediately before the Lord returns. The fourth is that the sun will scorch these evil men. The fifth plague says that darkness and pain fall on those who dwell on the earth. And the scripture prefaced this by saying that these plagues are meant for those who dwell on the earth. And so you might be thinking, "Man, well, I'm dwelling on the earth right now. I'm dwelling in D.C. D.C. is part of the earth. These plagues are meant for me." But here's the thing. A little bit of exegesis will show you so crystal clear that this phrase, "those who dwell on the earth," doesn't mean everyone. And I know it sounds confusing. But what this phrase means, "those who dwell on the earth," every time you see that in the Bible, it's always talking about the wicked. the cruel, the evil people. God's children, on the other hand, in the Bible, they're referred to as dwelling in Zion. So that's the difference here. This is a code language. When it says that the plagues are for those who dwell on the earth, that's code language for all of those who are evil and hate and are wicked. Those of us who are adding to the story of love, we are depicted as on Mount Zion. We're God's children. So I hope that makes sense. The sixth plague is the Battle of Armageddon, which is a whole sermon in itself. And if we had time, we would see that there's absolutely nothing to fear about this Battle of Armageddon. And the seventh plague is a global earthquake, which is so powerful that islands and mountains will disappear. After that, 100-pound hailstones will pulverize everything else that's left. Those are the seven last plagues in the book of Revelation. Some movies have been made about them, all types of nightmare-producing stuff, void of proper biblical context. So I want to ask, after seeing this lineup, a sore on your, the ocean turning to blood, the sun scorching men with fire, all this stuff, is that too much? Did God go a little bit overboard with this? And I also ask that with the second question. Was the Red Sea drowning Pharaoh's bloodthirsty army too much? Of course not. God had to stop the hate. These plagues only match the intensity of the evil that will rise up to crush us. The plagues are necessary to save those who want to live in peace and harmony and in love. This is a sobering passage that we have to wrestle with. But if we look at some of the evil things around our world, I am confident we all agree it has to stop somewhere. There's this thing called ethnic cleansing. It's happening in our world. You know, sometimes we read about stuff in history books and I'm like, man, I'm glad we don't live in those days. But stuff is happening right now. There's a group of people called the Rohingya Muslims, and they are being ethnically cleansed. Thousands of women and children and babies are being killed in Rwanda. Over 1 million people were cut down with machete. And it was so-called Christians doing the killing. There are confirmed stories that Seventh-day Adventists were killing other Seventh-day Adventists who were from a different tribe. And it pains me to say, they would go out 6 days a week with the machete, kill their brothers and sisters, and you know what they would do on the seventh day? They would rest from their genocide. And actually, one of the Seventh-day Adventist Union presidents, along with his son, coordinated the largest massacre of those killings. They called everyone to this central church, the central location, and said, we will give you refuge. Come to the church. And they weren't calling people to the church to be saved. They were calling them to round them up so it would be easier to exterminate them. Shames me to say that. Even more death took place in Europe. 6 million Jewish people were incinerated. They were put in an oven and burned alive. 6 million mothers and fathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and little infants. Don't tell me that the seven last plagues are too much. Shouldn't God put an end to this carnage that we're living in? And you don't have to live through one of these extreme genocides to know that things are bad. Right here, all around us, women are raped, children are abused, the elderly are taken advantage of. One out of every four girls is sexually assaulted by the age of 18. I wonder in our youth department how many girls we have. How many will be abused? Every 3 minutes a woman is raped in the United States. How many minutes have I been preaching? The conditions of this world are so toxic. All this stuff is so toxic that people are like, I have to check out. And they're dying by suicide because it's too toxic to live in the world where all this stuff is happening that they'd rather just fall asleep because I can't. It's just too much. Maybe you've seen stories this week of a well-known pastor of this mega church in Riverside, California, a minister of the gospel. He found life too toxic that he thought suicide was a better option. Also, this week, a well-known professor at the University of Pennsylvania who specialized in mental health, who was just about to kick off Mental Health Awareness Week, he also died by suicide because life is just too toxic. It was easier to fall asleep. And I should say this now, that if the pain of this world is getting to you, and if you have been having suicidal thoughts, there's help. There is help. You don't have to live with that all by yourself. If you are courageous enough, you could come to me or one of the other pastors. We are not counselors, but we will point you in the direction of help that you could get. We will walk with you to get that help. Maybe it's just too hard to come to one of us. So you could call this phone number, the National Suicide Hotline. I don't know if you want to write it down or you don't want people to see you write it down. Just Google it later. National Suicide Hotline. And you could call them anonymously. You don't have to give them your name. They won't track where you're calling from or anything. They'll just talk to you, walk you through it. Some of you may know someone who's having suicidal thoughts. A good step for you is to call this phone number. And they'll talk to you too. They'll tell you some things that you could do and to try and get that person to safety. The world that we're living in is toxic. Genocide and murder and rape and all this stuff. Should all of the pain that the enemy is causing us, the pain of which he is drunk with our blood, should that be allowed to continue forever with no end? Thank God Jesus is about to intervene with the seven last plagues, or else we would all be crushed. The seven last plagues are God's response to all of the hate that we are witnessing. They are God's response. We asked that question at the beginning. What is God doing about all of this hate? Well, part of the answer are the seven last plagues. They are a response to racism, to sexism, to xenophobia, which is hating people from other countries. They are God's response to rape, to child abuse, to genocide, to war, to governmental corruption, to capitalistic greed. They are his response to all things evil and wicked. All of these things will have an end. They will not go on forever. And my friend, that is what God is doing about the evil in our world. And it is soon approaching. There is a question for us at the end of all this. We have to ask ourselves, are we adding to the narrative, to the story of love? Or are we adding to the story and the narrative of hate. God will accept all those who live in love because God is love. But if you are one who is adding to the story of hate in any of the various ways that it manifests itself, God will respond with the plagues of Revelation 16. To all those who love, those who accept Jesus, you could have the full assurance in your salvation that the plagues, they will be your Red Sea experience. They're nothing to fear. They're actually something to look forward to, because that means that God is delivering us. So I want us to do me a favor. I want all of us to pick up one of these cards. There are tithe envelopes in every pew, and behind the tithe envelopes, there are these cards that say, a friendly welcome. We're going to do several things with this card, especially those of you who have been in this church for a while. I want you to write down your name, your cell phone number, and your email. All the rest of the information we could get later, but what's really important is your name, your cell phone, and your email. Now, two things. One thing that we do is we mail out a newsletter every Friday night. I let you know what is happening at the church, who's preaching, if there's potluck, all the different announcements. You'll get the reminder in an email Friday night. So if you put your email on there and say, add me, then we will add you to that email list so you could be informed. Second thing is Pastor Nixon always sends out a two-minute voicemail, also with the information of who is preaching and other special announcements happening. Also, if there is a weather closure because of snow or something else and we have to cancel church, we get that information out through that phone call. So put your cell phone on there and say, add me, and we will add you as well. Of course, you'll have to have your name there. So that's for your longtime members. Also, longtime members, I want you to turn the card around, and it has prayer requests on it. The world that we are living in is so toxic. People are dying by suicide. Our relatives are being abused and taken advantage of. We're dealing with so much stress from work. The pastors of this church want to pray for you. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m., we gather and we pray. And so if you place your prayer request here, we will pray for you Tuesday at 10 a.m. It's not common where you have people begging you to give us prayer requests, because we want to serve you in this way. This is part of the best ways that we could shepherd you, is to care for you in spiritual battle. And take your name to the Lord in prayer. So write your prayer request there. If you just want it to be the staff, the pastoral staff, just put confidential, and just the pastors will pray. If you want our prayer warriors, who gather every Wednesday at 12 noon, they'll pray for your card as well. So if you don't put confidential, we'll pray for you Tuesday at 10 a.m., and then we'll pray for you Wednesday at 12 noontime. And you will be covered two times this week. And we could use as much prayer as possible. So that is my appeal to you as longtime members. My second appeal are for those of you who are visiting, maybe for the first time. Maybe you've been attending for a few months. I want you to take a look at this card. You felt impressed by the Holy Spirit. You felt God calling you in a loud voice. You want to stop moving into the path of danger. You want to avoid getting crushed by the truck that is backing up, that truck that will be the plagues. And you want to fall to your knees and worship God. If that is you, I want you to put your name, your phone number, your email, and then check the box that applies to you. Maybe you're visiting for the very first time. Check that box. We're going to give you a call or an email if you'd rather, and we'll let you know some of the things that is good for you to know as a first-time visitor here at this place. Maybe you're a frequent visitor, and you want to take your walk with God. You want to learn more about the context of the Bible. You see how people have been twisting the Bible out of context. And that's part two. Remember, I said this was a feel-good message today about the plagues. You were like, I don't know about that, Pastor. Plagues feel good? And we saw it was our Red Sea experience. Today was a feel-good. Next week, we are going to be addressing how so-called Christians, but they're actually fake Christians, will align themselves and are already aligning themselves with the United States government. And we'll see this is straight out of the book of Revelation. So come for that. That won't be a feel-good message. This was a feel-good message, and if you're like, man, I want to learn more about the context of God. I had it all wrong in my head. I thought he was petty. I thought he was cold. But now I'm starting to see that it makes sense. God is loving. He does loving things to protect his children. If you want to start to get some of more of these pieces straight in your mind, check off that you want Bible study. And one of us pastors will contact you and we'll set up a time that's convenient for you to study the Bible. Maybe some of you have been studying the Bible for a while now, and you know that you should take that step with Jesus. You know that you should become baptized into our faith. You know you should take that stand and let the whole church say, yes, I want to be covered by the blood of Jesus, and go up into that pool and show everyone once and for all where you stand. If that is you, check off that box. I'm requesting baptism. We'll call you this week. We'll talk about it. Or maybe you want to join this church and say, I've already been baptized by immersion. I've already taken the plunge. I don't want to get wet anymore. What do I do? Well, you could join our church. You see the truth that we are preaching, and you've been attending maybe for a couple months, maybe for a few years, but you're like, oh, since I've been baptized, I've never bothered with it. We still want you to take a stand. And there's another way. You don't have to go through baptism if you already have. You could have a profession of faith. We'll call you up here, and we'll ask you if you stand for Jesus, and we'll have that profession of faith. Check off that box here. So there are several other options. Check this off, and as soon as you finish, I want to invite the deacons forward, please, and pass it to the end of the aisle. No one's going to look at it. And then the person at the end of the aisle, you just hand that stack over to the deacons who are passing, and then they'll give that to me, and we'll take care of it. Also, if we could have one or two deacons in the balcony collect those cards. No one's going to see them except the pastors, and we will get that taken care for you. Our hope is to be connected to the source of life, Jesus Christ. There are no limits to where Jesus will do to protect his children. Even if that means sending the plagues of Revelation to stop the carnage that is happening in our world, Jesus will do it because he loves you. He will stop the enemy who is drunk with our blood. He will not hurt us any longer. Evil has its expiration date. And so why don't we take our stand with Jesus? We're going to pray at the end, but I just feel impressed that we pray just now. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord God Almighty, we have seen clearly from your word that the plagues are intended to stop evil and protect good. We thank you for them. We are looking forward to the day where we're on the other side of the conflict, where we could say, God Almighty, just and true are your ways. Thank you for delivering us. Bless us, Father. Some people have made decisions just now, maybe for the first time, to take their stand with you. Maybe right now someone is struggling. They didn't put their name down. They didn't check off that box, and they were feeling it. I pray that they get that card and they still check it out. They give it to me as we leave here, as we are shaking hands in the back. Lord, we thank you for calling out to us in a loud voice. We thank you for always having our best interest in heart. And we thank you that the safest place in all of the universe is close to your heart. Be with us now as we part. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.